This is Gene Larson, news director of radio station KGSW in Kearney, Alaska. Right at the present time, on this Tuesday evening, November the 5th, 1957, we are in our studio. The time is Central Standard Time, 7:20. At our side, at microphone, we have Mr. Reinhold O. Schmidt. That's Reinhold O. Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D-T. Mr. Schmidt has stated that his home address, his mailing address in Bakersfield, California, is 715 Gate Street, and that he is employed by Value Pack Incorporated. They're in the wholesale hay, feed, and grain concentrate. Their office is at 501 West Main Street at Brawley, California. That's B-R-A-W-L-E-Y. Mr. Schmidt, this afternoon I believe you had something occur to you, and you talked a little bit about it. We would like to ask you a series of questions. The information that I have given so far, Mr. Schmidt, is that correct?
Yes.
In other words, you work for Value Pack Incorporated. You live in Bakersfield. You are in Kearney, Nebraska for what purpose?
Buying grain.
And is this your first trip to Kearney?
Yes.
And by buying grain, what do you mean, sir?
Buying from the farmers or elevators.
And you travel around the country, is that it, sir?
Yes.
And you drive what kind of cars there?
Buick.
What year?
55 Super.
55 Super. Now, this afternoon, I believe you're out south of town, south of Kearney. About how far, sir?
I would say about 4 miles.
About what time was this, sir?
It was between 2 and 3 in the afternoon.
And you were headed in which direction, sir?
I was going south and then turned east on the Newark Highway.
And you were up by the cement road on this Newark Road for about how long a time? I mean, mileage-wise.
Oh, it was about a mile.
About a mile. Yes. And then noticed something in the Platte River bed. Am I right that it's dry?
There was a flash there when I first noticed.
Flash.
Yes.
And that was how far from the road, sir?
About, I would say a half a mile.
A half a mile from the road at the present time?
Yes.
At the time. Did you continue to drive or did you immediately stop?
No, I drove on up a little closer to where the flash was to see what caused that. And when I got so close, I found out, I thought it was a balloon had crashed there.
You thought it was a balloon that had
yes.
crashed? And then you drove closer to the object?
Yes.
And then what occurred?
I got within 60 feet of the object. My car stopped.
The motor went dead?
The motor went dead. I tried to step out, but there was no response whatsoever.
Then what did you do, Mr. Smith?
I got out of the car. I figured maybe the terminal had just broken loose in the car and battery. And I got out of the car and walked toward this balloon, what I thought was this balloon. And when I got within 30 feet of it, a light shot out. And I would say it paralyzed me. It either paralyzed me or else it hypnotized me on the way.
You couldn't move physically.
I couldn't move.
Could
no.
you think?
Yes, I could think
you could
talk, and, but I couldn't move.
I see. Before we go into further happenstance with regard to this object, I wonder if you could describe it for me. About how long was it, sir?
It was about 100 feet long, as near as we could step it off there. It was about 100 feet long and 30 feet wide, and now it judges 14 feet high.
What did it appear to be made out of?
A real bright aluminum.
Now, this was in the riverbed of the Platte River, which is dry at the present time. It's sandy there.
Yes.
And it appeared to be of aluminum. It was bright and shiny. And you got out and you approached this object.
Yeah,
and you've described it. Did you notice anything as to how it would be moved? Did there appear to be pipes of it or propellers or what was it, sir?
On each end of the machine, there was a tube running up and down. And then these tubes, as near as I could see, were big fans. And when seemed like that, then the propeller.
How close did you get to this object, sir?
I got to it and in it.
I understand that, sir. But before you got into it, you got out of your car, went across the field toward the riverbed. How far did you get toward the object before you noticed anybody?
Oh, about 30 feet.
About 30 feet. And then what occurred?
That's when that light shot out
and paralyzed, as far as you know.
Yes.
Then what occurred, sir?
There's two men came out and they said not to be alarmed, that they would have to search me.
How did they come out of the side?
Yes, out of the side of the machine.
And were there steps down to the ground, or did they
yes,
jump?
There's a sliding door, and then the steps.
I see.
Yes.
And they came out, and they spoke to you in English?
Yes.
How were they dressed?
They were dressed like any American would be.
In business suits?
In business suits, yes.
I see. Did they appear to be young or middle-aged?
They were middle-aged. I would say between 40 or 45.
And they spoke good English?
Yes. No, they spoke a broken
English. Broken English.
Broken English.
What did they say to you?
They told me not to be alarmed, that I wouldn't, they were not going to hurt me. And they did want to search me, and I told them I had no weapons. And I asked them what the deal was or what the object was. And they said, well, as long as we can leave for a few minutes, you can just walk in and look around.
So you went up the steps with them?
Yes.
You entered this object?
Into the object.
Yes. Did you sense anything by way of smell, sight that was out of the ordinary?
Not at all.
Not at all. Were there any other people in this object?
Yes, there was four men and two
ladies. Well, what age did they appear to be?
They appear to be around 40.
Were they talking when you entered?
They just spoke to me, that's all.
What did they say?
They just said hello.
In what? In what language?
In American language.
In American language. They said hello. And you answered them?
Yes.
I see. And what did you tell once you got inside of this object?
Well, there was just a lot of instruments and wires, and it seemed like they were working on these wires for some reason. The girls were at another instrument there with a lot of dials and push buttons once in a minute.
After they said hello to you, these women and these other men, or were there no other men? There was two men and two women?
There were four men and two women.
All right, then one of them more than likely sort of stayed by you.
One man all the time.
By you.
Yes.
And he was the one that talked to you, perhaps?
Yes.
Then the other three, other two women and other two, three men, went about their business today?
Yes.
Did they appear to be interested in you after they said hello?
No.
Did they talk among themselves?
Yes.
And what language did they talk?
They were talking in a high German, as much as whatever I could. Because that machine was about 100 feet long, as I said. And they were talking in a high German every time I could hear them.
Are you qualified to know high German, Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
You've had schooling in it, or
yes.
your parentage in one
yes.
thing and another? I see. And they didn't appear to be interested in you personally?
No.
After they said hello. Now, you were inside of the object about how long, Mr. Schmidt?
I was in an object there, I would say, 30 minutes.
30 minutes. What did you do while you were in there?
I was just talking to this man, and although he didn't explain anything to me.
Did you ask him questions?
Yes, I asked him more about what they were doing. He said, well, he couldn't tell me that, but in the near future, we might all know, he said.
You might all know in the near future.
Yes, to tell my people that they meant no harm.
They meant no harm,
yes.
is the statement he made.
Yes.
And you were in there for approximately 30 minutes. And then did something occur that would indicate to you that perhaps the machinery was repaired?
Yes, they said that this one man was working at one end. He said they would be ready to take off in the German language.
In the German, and you recognized
yes,
it?
Yes, I recognized
it. Still high German?
Yes. And then this man said, told me in American that they were ready to take off, and I would have to leave. I went out of this machine, the door was low, which is a ladder, went up, and I stepped back, I would say about 10 feet. They didn't tell me to not watch them or anything. I stepped back about 10 feet, and then when the machine started going, I probably stepped back a little farther,
mm-hmm.
and then I watched them leave.
How did they leave,
Mr.? It went straight up in the air.
Straight up in the air?
Yeah.
Slowly?
Slowly at first, then it gained speed until it got about 150 or 200 feet up in the air. It seemed like there was a flash there, and it just disappeared.
You see any object of this size 150 feet in the air?
Oh, yeah.
But this one disappeared?
Just disappeared. It changed color.
Did they have any...
with the clock.
I see. Did they have any instructions to you after you left? Did they tell you not to do something or do something? I mean, what were they... did they send it to you after... with regards to starting your automobile, let's say?
Oh, they told me not to... when I left, they said don't try and start the automobile today after release, because it won't start anyway.
I see.
And he kind of smiled. That's for sure that they had done something to the automobile.
Did you personally feel that they were friendly towards you?
Yes, very friendly.
Very friendly.
Very, very friendly.
But disinterested in you as a person?
Yes.
I see. Let me ask you this now, Mr. Schmidt. You were with them or near their object and with them for about how long a time, sir?
I would say about 30 minutes.
Let me ask you this. Why were you scared?
Not that I wasn't so much until that beam hit me. Then
I heard you.
Yes. Uh-huh. At first I thought it was just a balloon that was a crash.
Mm-hmm. Are you
came in and talked to the Buffalo County Sheriff, Lloyd Frank, was that right?
Deputy.
And then what occurred?
The sheriff and myself, we went out there, and he was convinced that something had been there. We come back to the city manager.
That's Ray Lundy, yes.
Yeah, and
the chief of police?
Chief of police.
That's Thurston Nelson.
That's right.
And all of you returned to the scene now.
Yes.
And was there any evidence left at the scene that would indicate that this had occurred?
Yes, the sheriff, I think it was, and myself, we picked up some leaves that had some, we thought it was oil or hydraulic oil, we don't know. It had a peculiar smell to it.
Did you identify the smell?
No.
A very peculiar,
it was a greenish color.
Were there marks in the ground that...
It seemed like this one, we could see where this one hydraulic foot hit the ground.
I see. Were there footprints where these men had walked?
Well, it was sandy, yes, there was.
Were footprints there? And you explained to them what had happened, and they were convinced that some of this had occurred, if not all, actually. What are your personal feelings, Mr. Schmidt, about this? Have you had a chance to... calm down enough to actually give up?
Well, I really haven't so far, but I there is such a thing as out of space or a machine from outer space to be from a different country.
You feel it might be one of the two?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You didn't notice anything foreign about them other than they might have been German?
Yes.
Would you say, what race would you say they were, actually? German. You would say German.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Schmidt, we want to thank you very much for the opportunity of talking with you. We appreciate very much. You're going to be very definitely interrogated by the various law enforcement bodies, and there'll be other news media after you. We appreciate the chance to talk to you firsthand about this. Do you have anything else that you'd like to say at this time?
No, I guess that's all that I have.
Thank you very, very much. Mr. Reinhold O. Schmidt of Bakersfield, California. This is Gene Larson, News Director of KGFW in Kearney, Nebraska.